This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
One of the big benefits of the situation the Canucks are in, and there aren't many of them, but Elias Pettersson in the slot scores his first NHL goal. Petey jumped up in the play and released a snapshot that beat Lucas Dostal up high, and the Canucks have tied the game at one. Tomorrow night, the Vegas Golden Knights in town, 7 o'clock face-off as Dakota Joshua gets a chance in front. He scores!
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Shillington is pushed out to center by Max Sasson. He's got a step. Max Sasson in alone. On a breakaway, he scores! Sasson has his third career NHL goal to extend the Vancouver lead. It's 6-2.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks 6-2 over the Anaheim Ducks. Triple up the Ducks, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Bick Nazar. Going to bring in Randeep Jand into the conversation. And as always, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Find them online at DLEAMC.com. And as always, get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. And we all know the reality of the Canucks' playoff hopes being as small as they are, but it was a fun night, or fun afternoon, I should say, at Rogers Arena here, guys, because it wasn't the best game to start off. Canucks gave up a goal early, and fans were kind of quiet. You wondered, is this going to be another one of these, you know, bad home games? But I will say, the afternoon crowd really enjoyed this one here.
Yeah, they brought the energy after the team ended up, you know, scoring five unanswered goals, five goals in 4.5 minutes, which is a franchise record. But I thought, you know, that first period, obviously, you mentioned the Troy Terry goal. There's a lot of open room on that goal, but they did a good job. They didn't get rattled by that, and it's great to see Elias Pettersson get his first NHL goal, steps up into the play, and once that goal went in, this team changed. They were applying pressure. They were leaning into the moment rather than backing off, and that was really the difference. That first period, when they stepped it up, Anaheim got rattled.
Yeah, in a big way, and they had tons of space to operate, and obviously the five goals there happened fairly quickly, and only the 37th time that's they've scored five goals in a period, but they got it dusted early, and they managed the game the rest of the way. And I like to use the phrase, you know, hockey is a game, the business is winning, and the winning was taken care of in the opening 20 minutes. I know, look, they kind of sat back, but when you got a four-goal lead in that situation here, they massaged the game the rest of the way.
And they closed the door in that third period as well. Max Sasson, great play on Shillington there to strip the puck, and he's bobbling it a little bit, but you take advantage. If you know, Sasson plays that a little bit more passively, he doesn't get that opportunity. He's right on him, and using that speed, and how often do we talk about, you know, moving forward for this team, whether it's this year or next year, you need a little bit more team speed. Well, Max Sasson saying, hey, I can provide that if you give me the opportunity, a great goal.
Yeah, and the question I'm putting out is, which Canuck rookie are you most impressed by in this game? We'll talk about the three stars and the veterans who had good games, a lot to get through, but the young guys really made their mark. You mentioned Max Sasson, DPD scores a goal. You know, I thought Leker Mackey had some good moments. I thought Linus Karlsson, especially on the first goal, had a really nice moment. So I think all the guys really contributed, the young guys, the rookies, in the lineup today.
For sure, and I think with, you know, a player like Elias Pettersson, we're going to focus on that because he scored the goal, but even early on in the game, his ability to just be in the scrums and take care of his own end first, where, all right, he's in there. He's in every scrum. He's in McTavish's face, and then he's handling the puck. He's a little bit more, you know, Rick Tocchet mentioned this morning, he wants his players to have courage to make plays, try new stuff. I thought Elias Pettersson was doing that, and also Linus Karlsson as well. I thought he played a very strong, rangy game, like his play in all three zones, just being a little longer and using his body effectively. Over the last week or so, I think he's really elevated his game here.
These last 5-7 games, you notice something from Linus Karlsson every single game. And, you know, it started of, oh, he held the puck along the boards, managed to move the puck to a player who made a threatening play, and just kind of being a link Well, now he's serving as a main linchpin as far as some of these chances that are getting created. He's been on the right end of some rebound chances in the last couple of games. But that play he makes on the Elias Pettersson goal, that's excellent, right? You collect that play, you enter the zone.
That's a confident play, yeah.
Yeah, you navigate from the center of the ice with two guys going to the net. You drag players wide to open up space behind you, and in comes Elias Pettersson to get a snapped one-timer off for his first NHL goal. And also that pass just put it to a spot for that guy to come onto. Very, very slick. And, you know, just other moments with this game that even we were just chatting about him in the second intermission, myself and Dan Riccio, like even the plays that don't always come off, you can see the intent behind them from Linus Karlsson. So the ideas are sound in practice. And now it's just a matter of execution, but you see the logic in a lot of what he does, and it's just a matter of, hey, as the foot speed comes along, the reps come along at the speed of this level, there's something there, and there's a reason he got the reward of a one-year deal.
For sure, and another thing as well, he's better at closing than he was, you know, earlier this year. When you're on the forecheck or in the neutral zone, like, he's able to get there a little quicker. He's able to use his range, and there was one play after that Elias Pettersson goal where he just stands up an Anaheim player in the neutral zone and basically squashes that play. That type of play is what Rick Tocchet's going to love, because sure, you can get the points, you can get the, you know, the offensive play, but the ability to be committed in the neutral zone, I thought he's starting to add wrinkles to his game.
And I'm glad we're talking about the young guys here, because what's important here in these last six games now, but it's not just about, oh, finish the season and you're on the roster at the end of the year and so you're the incumbent guy. It's important for these guys to leave the lasting impression of this season into the summer for the coaching staff and then decision makers on this team to say, oh, those guys were competing at the end, and leave a good impression going into training camp that even if there's competition in there, you're not just the incumbent because you were on the team last year. You're the incumbent because you played well at the end of the year. And so someone's got to beat you now to set a certain standard. And also, like, that's the standard you have to meet going into next year as well.
And for some of these players, guys, remember the difference of you started off the season maybe getting a taste in the NHL, you went back down, and the progress that they're showing now, you're sending a message to say, hey, if you give me something to learn, I'm going to come back stronger. So if you're a young player and you get that opportunity now, and to your point, Bick, you know, are you in a position to say, hey, I've already built a little bit of a reputation of I learn well under these circumstances, right? I'm going to come back stronger. And I think Linus Karlsson's doing that. I think Lekkerimäki in certain ways, Elias Pettersson, of course, as well, and even Mancini. There are some moments here. I know we got a little bit more ice time today playing alongside Quinn Hughes, but there are some moments you're saying, all right, you know, if you're given a little bit more responsibility, can you do something with it? Step in the right direction for him as well.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought the young guys really brought it, and one of the players who scored a goal playing tonight came in on an emergency basis is Max Sasson. Max, thanks for joining us. A pretty whirlwind 24 hours. How good does it feel to be back in the NHL and also scoring a big goal here this afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, you never know when the next chance is going to come when you get sent down, and, you know, I think all of us do a pretty good job of staying ready and bringing our best every night no matter where we are, so... you know, obviously super excited to get the call and, you know, just trying to make the most of it.
Well, you know, your line was also buzzing as well. You get Lekkerimäki's playing well and Linus Karlsson. Obviously a line that's brought to you from Abbotsford, but, you know, the chemistry that you guys have, what were you feeling today playing with those guys?
Yeah, I'm super comfortable with both those guys. When before Carly got called up and Lex got called up, I think that was a line actually in Abbotsford. So, you know, super comfortable, two of my good buddies, and, you know, we said let's go to work, and, you know, when the chances come, let's try to make some plays. Don't be shy of it. So, you know, love playing with those guys, and, you know, big help.
When there's a flurry of goals like that, take us through the chatter on the bench, right? It's 5 goals in 4 minutes and 30 seconds here, which is among the fastest 5 goals in NHL history. Is it a scenario of like, hey, like who's the next one to get one? What's the chatter like on the bench?
I think you just try to stay even keel the whole time, no matter what the score is. But obviously, when you see 5 goals go in, boom, 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 you know, you start feeling it. But you know, we knew they were going to make a push, and they did. And then, you know, our job was just to lock it down as the game went on and not give up too much while we stay on the front foot.
Max, you talked about, you know, trying new stuff and having the confidence to do that. The coach was obviously talking to the media about that. I'm sure the message was inside the room. When a coach says that, you know, as a player, how do you feel? How do you respond?
Wait, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
Rick Tocchet mentioned that, you know, he wanted his players and he wanted you guys to try new stuff and maybe have that confidence in making plays. When you hear a coach say that, like, internally, how do you feel?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it feels great to hear a coach say that. You know, he's been super, super supportive the whole way of, you know, he's had a lot of different guys get called up and, you know, a lot of new lineups. And to hear him say that, it means a lot. You know, Yogi, the same thing. They brought me in the office and said, play your game and move your feet. We need that. So, you know, obviously it helps a lot as a player when you hear a coach have confidence in you and keep putting you out there.
Well, and obviously it can't be easy going up and down, but at the same time you're trying to keep focused on the big picture. But how do you take what you learn here and try to apply it to the AHL and also stay focused on what you need to do to help the AHL team win?
Yeah, obviously we all play kind of a different role when we're in Abbotsford. But, you know, when I got sent down there for a little bit ago, Yogi had some clips for me. Wasn't just of me, but just of the way that the guys who stick, what they do on a nightly basis that might make the difference. And, you know, so I have that in the back of my mind. And while I'm watching my clips after the game, I'm thinking about, you know, maybe I was too wide on the forecheck. Maybe I had to get in there earlier. Maybe I could add a little more poise at the puck here. And, you know, things that they preach, trying to bring that to Abbotsford. And, you know, hopefully when you get called up, you're in a better spot than you were.
We were chatting about that poise right before you joined us, that the handful of you guys, what, five, six of you guys, that the earlier season cameo to where you are now does feel different. And can you just take us through, like, what that growth feels like and the confidence you gained playing in the NHL now?
Yeah, I think every game, you know, you try to get better and have, you know, bring a little bit more to the table. I think our first couple games, all of us probably, you know, we were just trying to not mess up. And now I think as we start to, they bring us up and we get more and more reps, you know, you try to see, you know, I can help this team. And, you know, I think we're all doing a better job of that. And also, you know, it helps with Manny Holter, coach down there. He's helped a lot, and the Sedins are always coming down, and Kroger, and, you know, all the guys on this team pushing us to be better and to help.
Max, great stuff, man. Good job on getting the goal and playing well this afternoon and helping the Canucks win the game. And I'm sure your dad wants a word, too, so go give him a call
100%.
After the game.
Yeah, 100%. All right, thanks, guys.
That is Max Sasson, a big goal here for the Canucks, and his dad quite a character, too. And it's always nice seeing these guys get a chance and have success. And the thing about Sasson that you hear a lot about is – has the right mental makeup, right? He's a guy who was undrafted, had to work his way to get drafted, had a really nice college career. You see the speed, you see the intelligence, you see a lot of things that he can do. There are a lot of NHL traits in what Sasson could do, and to be fair, a number of guys we talked about, Bick was mentioning Linus Karlsson, has certain traits. Ultimately, can these guys, a few of them, put it together enough to become not only NHL regulars, but guys who can make some sort of an impact for you?
Yeah, you're getting an opportunity. I thought that final answer that he said, you know, maybe the first few games that he played in the NHL, you got dealing with nerves, you're just trying to survive, so to speak. We're seeing that confidence from not only him, but players like Linus Karlsson. And he mentioned a little bit earlier on, sitting down with the coaches and them essentially saying, go do your thing. You're in the NHL for a reason. We want you to be confident. You're starting to see that. And, you know, I think with Lekker Mäki, we're seeing it, and he's got a little bit more. He doesn't maybe have that NHL body yet. He will develop that over the next year or so. Give him time. He's younger. But Linus Karlsson, that's an NHL body. Like, he's a rangy player. He's heavy. He's kind of just needs to get a little faster. Max Sasson, like, he's not the biggest of guys, but he's got the speed. This is a speed game in the NHL. It's a skill game. So if he can bring that consistency, I think there's a path, guys. Like, he's going to be somebody that is going to ask questions. And look at Shillington on that play. I had no chance. You know, you're obviously caught flat-footed.
And he's a good skater.
He's a good skater, right? Yeah. You're caught flat-footed on that play, sure. But, you know, Max Sasson just blows right by him. I think he was fourth or fifth in the highest, you know, skating speed today, if I'm not mistaken. But the fact is, he's able to do that. And I think it's just getting a run of games here. If you can get six here, you go to the, you know, offseason, you're feeling confident, and you continue to work on your game, this team and this lineup needs speed. He's got it.
He was the fifth fastest. The fastest Canuck tonight. The top four all Anaheim Ducks. May have been in recovery mode trying to catch up to Max Sasson, but nevertheless. But just on Randy's point, like, you go through the handful of guys here that are the, you know, the AHL call-ups or the young players, and you can see, like, one trait for all of them. Lekker Mäki, like, we can see the shot.
Sure.
Right? Like, even the last game on the power play, like, you heard how heavy it was on the backboard on the one that missed the net. So that plays. And there is a certain level of cleverness to his game on top of that. Ratu, face-offs, defensive ability.
He's got the heaviness.
He's got a heaviness as well, and he's got a bit of a shot as well. So you see a couple of traits. But, yeah, some things that still need to work on. Sasson, you see the speed, a lot of energy, and like a certain desire. Mancini can carry the puck, can make a pass. And the offensive instincts that we've talked a lot about look like they can be there. And Carlson, like, there's a cleverness and just a first-touch ability. Like, he does take passes cleanly and wins along the wall. So they're each bringing an element. It's about, can you start to work over the summer the third, fourth piece that coaches can look at and say, hey, the role that we can craft for you. It might be a depth role, but, hey, that's still value to us. Can you start to work on those things because we see what you're good at now?
And you listed off five or six players there, which is great for internal competition because you don't have one player that's going to be just anointed into the lineup. You're saying, hey, if you want to make this lineup, hey, Elias Pettersson, yeah, sure, you can play the right-hand side. Mancini's there as well. Who wants the lineup tonight, right? Linus Karlsson, Max Sasson, Atu Ratu, okay, you want a spot in this lineup? Maybe two of you are going to make it in the lineup. Maybe not all three of you. That internal competition is great for them too because it can push them to be better. Nobody's being, you know, getting the red carpet into the starting lineup, and that's not what you want for young players.
I didn't mention Elias Pettersson, but you know his best moment before the goal to me, like he carried the puck on a face-off win in the defensive zone, and he just saw a little bit of space. And he's like, it's cluttered everywhere else. I'll just accelerate past everyone, and it was just shot out of a cannon out of the zone, carried through the neutral zone. He thought, all right, there's something there. And then he scores his goal, obviously, later. Yeah. But you just see flashes from him all throughout his tenure so far.
Randeep, we'll roll out the red carpet for you because I know you got to walk over to hockey night. So go and get those duties done.
Thank you. I'm doing my scouting on the Vegas Golden Knights. So be ready for tomorrow night.
Yeah, you got it. That's Randeep Janda calling the game alongside Brendan Batchelor. A 6-2 Canucks win over the Anaheim Ducks. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free, 1-888-275-0650. Brandon and Poco says, Sat, you called Max man instead of mate. What's wrong with you? Yeah, I know. I missed the opportunity, I suppose. But I asked, you know, we talked about this. DPD did the intermission with you guys.
Yeah.
And he was on with Murph after TV. So I didn't get a chance to reconvene with my mate.
Yeah.
Didn't quite happen.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I can't even do the accent
anymore. Yeah, I was going to say, you tried. And it's like you approximated it, yeah, but you weren't close.
I can't naturally do it. It's just,
yeah. That was a rare one-of-one moment.
It's like, you know when somebody just flukes a shot in or something? Yes. It's like, do that again. It's like, I can't. It literally just happened once. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox. We'll get to more of it as the show goes on. Now, one thing, and obviously this isn't as important for the rest of this year because we know the reality of where the Canucks find themselves right now, but how positive is it seeing Thatcher Demko be able to be athletic, go post to post, and not get hurt again? I know his game, we can talk about the first goal, but to me, we'll get to the goals a bit later,
yeah.
But he's also a bit impeded by the two players in front of him. It makes it hard for him to step out on his crease. We'll talk about it coming up in a little bit. But nonetheless, we can talk maybe about the first goal or whatever, and the game against Seattle wasn't great. But I'm not as worried about that because we've seen his peak now. We've seen that he can play really well. My biggest thing is he can be under duress, face some odd man chances, and come away being healthy. I want to see him be healthy by the end of the season.
Yeah, obviously the Zegras goal, I know he doesn't save it, but the motion and the flexibility in that was very much on display. And he tried backhanding it with his glove behind his back as well. And I think that glove basically touched his right knee. So he extended quite a way here. And you just see the torque in his body for that type of play. And he almost got his pad to the post there to stop that Zegras goal. So, there were a couple of moments throughout the course of the game where he was full stretch and certainly active. And so, we'll just see what the recovery looks like from a day like today. And it's certainly an encouraging sign that he didn't look stiff at all.
No.
And so it's just a matter of, like, can you string some games here that you look like your old self? I don't know if there's enough of a runway here. And, you know, Glankinen's obviously going to get the start. But just in general, can you look solid?
And I think he has. I mean, the Seattle game obviously notwithstanding, but he's had some other games where he's played well and he's looked like he can get there. So just get there healthy for me is the biggest thing for Thatcher Demko. And would you say Lankin is getting the start tomorrow, we know, against Vegas. Alternate them from this point on?
Yeah.
This is your last back-to-back.
Yeah. I mean, he would get Dallas. Yeah, I think you have to. I just know how teams operate. right? The E's not next to their name. Are they going to look at this and say, well, if Minnesota drops against Dallas tomorrow before we puck drop, is that a situation where we're a little bit closer and all that?
Wait.
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying how the team would think.
Hey, you know what the funny thing is? So Canucks won today. Great win,
yes.
Right? Now they have a game in hand on Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
They are 6 points back of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Had they beat Seattle,
yes,
they would have a game in hand and be four back with a game against Minnesota. So you could literally, they won these last two games and they won tonight or today,
correct?
You could have actually sat here today and said, hey, the Canucks are probably not making it in. The odds are stacked against them. But if they win out, they're probably getting in. Now, it depends what Calgary does,
yes.
You know, because they also have a chance. But that's what 2 points could have done. You could have had a different feel around it. And you're right. The team might look at it still as we have a chance. But I thought Reach brought up the point, but and I think it's true. There seemed to be more of a tone of resignation around the team and the coach and the players mm-hmm. the past 48 hours. Now, does it change with the win today? Minnesota lost yesterday. What happens to them in their game this weekend? So you're not mathematically out of it, but I think it's more for me, more than anything, what I look at here and say, if you could have just picked up a 3 or 4 more points, we'd be having a completely different discussion about where the Canucks are these final 6 games now. But
such
alas,
is the state of the season.
Yes, but alas, you're sitting here talking about playing out the string more than anything else. Keep your thoughts coming into text inbox, 650-650. Loud Titans fan says, play Shilovs for the pick. Like, come on, we're out. What are we doing here? So I know there's some people, Bic, who still want to see the team win. Lloyd says this team can't even tank properly. The thing is, even when you try to lose, it's not guaranteed to lose, right? Mm-hmm. You can shut guys down. Players work hard. They win games. That's why the whole tanking thing, to me, comes down to you shut guys down. And the Canucks aren't there yet, and winning today probably doesn't make them want to shut guys down.
Until that E goes next to the name. That's the marker.
Yeah, but you can see with Quinn. Like, Quinn had 2 assists this afternoon, mm-hmm. but how good did he look? Like, he still looks like a guy who's playing through 3 injuries.
There was a couple evading contact plays, especially in the neutral zone. I noticed it more in particular. Wasn't necessarily tight to some guys in the defensive zone, but kind of in the right position and made the guy go around him, but still got around him. But in the neutral zone in particular, I felt like he pulled out of a couple of moments. But, yeah, you just notice him. He doesn't look as sharp, but still had 2 assists throughout the course of the evening.
And now is 4 back of Edler for the record for most points by an NHL defenseman, Canucks defenseman.
Which is almost gone, like, underlooked because after about 10 games into his career, like, yeah, he's going to break the record.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, he's going to catch Edler. He's going to have all the offensive numbers.
It's really been under-discussed, like, how close he is to breaking this. It's like, yeah, 4 back. He's clearly going to do it.
Yeah, I had a thought, but I'm not going to go down that road. We don't need any more depressing thoughts after the season that has been here. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, 650-650. Tommy says, would it not be nice if you ran into a goalie that can't stop a beach ball in all our games? Talking about Lucas Dostal. We'll get to the goals, and maybe not the best night for him, but also mm-hmm. Canucks got a lot of puck luck today, which they haven't had the last little while, and that played into their favor as well. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. More of the Canucks Central postgame shows coming up on the other side. We'll hear from the Canucks head coach, their players, and a lot more on the postgame show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Ducks starting to turn the heat up here on the cycle in the Vancouver zone, but Shillington is pushed out to center by Max Sasson. He's got a step. Max Sasson in alone. On a breakaway, he scores! Sasson has his 3rd career NHL goal to extend the Vancouver lead. It's 6-2 before the 6-minute mark of the 3rd.
And that's what you call making an impact for Max Sasson.
The next chance is going to come when you get sent down. And, you know, I think all of us do a pretty good job of staying ready and bringing our best every night, no matter where we are. So, you know, obviously super excited to get the call and, you know, just trying to make the most of it.
Max Sasson scoring his 3rd goal as a Vancouver Canuck. I'm sure that makes his father, Alan, very happy. Canucks go on to win 6-2 over the Anaheim Ducks. And this is the Canucks Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Dan Riccio. Bick Nazar. Dan Riccio was on the pregame and intermission, but it's Bick Nazar on postgame. At least I didn't call you something different this time. I called you a name.
I think I'm more offended.
What's worse? What's worse? Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. And, you know, it's one of those games, obviously, probably doesn't mean much in the standings. If anything, you hear a lot of people talk about how the Canucks need a better draft pick. And the Canucks now sit with 83 points, with the 15th worst record in the National Hockey League. They're 3 points up on Utah. And for those wondering, where are they going to pick? It's most likely going to be in that 15 to 13 range. And the teams that are behind them, Bick, like, they have a lot of ground to make up. Like, you know, Columbus has two games in hand, but if they win both, they're still 2 points back of Vancouver. So, you know, I know people talk about tanking and getting a bit better draft pick. Even if the Canucks play average, they may just pick where they're at, which is anywhere from 13 to 15, maybe more likely 15 to 14. If they lose enough, perhaps you can pick 12th or something along those lines. But, you know, in that sense of things, the Canucks are probably going to be in the range they're at currently.
And Rangers got shut out earlier today, so they're falling a bit further away to close that gap. It's really just Utah is really the one I would look at and say maybe they can leapfrog Vancouver from below. And as far as how it goes in the other direction of the chase, Colorado and St. Louis are getting ready to drop the puck here in moments. LA beat Edmonton, but that one's actually almost too far now. And Winnipeg and Utah getting ready to play here in about a half hour. And Minnesota plays Dallas at home tomorrow at noon.
So we'll know the result of that when the Canucks game gets going, obviously. It's 7 p.m. puck drop tomorrow against Vegas. Pre-game gets going at 6 p.m.
So the Canucks tomorrow at puck drop could have two games in hand, being six points back and playing Minnesota. Before puck drop, look, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just laying out the facts for you.
Yeah, I
don't
get
react to facts. React to opinions.
Exactly.
They're going to make it sad. Now you can react.
Now you can react to it. But I get it. Again, we mentioned people that want the better draft picks, but then, you know, people are also saying, like, hey, you play until it's over. Never give up, Sir M. Texton. Never, ever give up. So I get people still say that.
We're pro, always compete.
Yeah.
So, and we've talked about not shutting guys down until the E is there.
We're not saying they're still in the race. We're just saying that they still have a chance, and these are the odds. Their odds are still very much stacked against them, but it goes back to what we were talking about in that previous segment, not to bemoan the previous games. And whether it's like Dave and White Rock was asking us, what about the first game of the season against Calgary? You win that game, it's a two-point swing, right? Yeah. You gain a point, Calgary loses one. All of a sudden, you're sitting there 1 point. There, you know what I mean?
All these moments, the Seattle loss, the Utah loss, like the blown leads. Like they you never get those points back.
Yeah, we can talk about the Rangers game that played so well, but all the overtime games.
Yep.
And the difference could end up being, by the end of it, 2 or 3 points. So, and that's going to be the real frustrating part of the season if that does happen. And, again, the Seattle game. Had you won the Seattle game with the way Minnesota's going, you could at least try to talk yourself into it still being a race, and that's just the reality of where the Canucks find themselves currently. Big Daddy in the Grove, like the effort by the young guys. Roster looks good next year a little bit as well. As far as next year is concerned, I think we want to see a lot of these guys be able to carry it over for next season. That's not always a straight line. It's not always something you're going to see, but one thing that I do like, Bick, and this is something that we're going to see even more of next year, so they have Jonathan Lekromäki. They have DPD, they have Max Sasson, Atu Ratu, Victor Mancini, right? Linus Karlsson.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Vilander coming. You have a couple other guys. So you have about 10 guys that are could be in some way, shape, or form knocking on that door. They're not all going to break through and become NHL players, and certainly not even half are going to break through and be stars for you. But are there enough players now in the fold that just statistically, two or three will end up being players for you?
Yeah, that's the goal, right? It's something we didn't really have that conversation for so many years in this city because there was no integration as far as the draft picks getting to a stage here. A lot of the guys just bypassed a step, and there was no AHL, and there was no graduating class. Like Horvat, straight to the NHL. Vertanen and McCann straight to the NHL. Outside the goalies,
yeah,
like Markstrom season, Demko season. You know, Forsling was jettisoned before that process even started. Besser bypassed the AHL. Uelevi, look, we've talked about that.
Just didn't work out.
Pettersson, Elias Pettersson jumped straight to the NHL. Quinn Hughes straight to the NHL. And some the guys that did marinate never really materialized. Or there were NCAA guys and moved on. European guys never came to the AHL. So we haven't experienced like graduating classes from the AHL or a development plan really with any frequency.
No.
Here. And so now you list that group of players there, and yeah, the real list is probably 2 to 3.
That will, you know, that will actually become everyday contributors.
Correct. But now you're not searching and desperately of, okay, like, what does the bottom look like when it drops out? And honestly, 5 years ago, actually, let's say pre-pandemic, if the amount of chaos that had happened this season in the previous kind of grouping, I don't know if we would have seen a team even be on pace for 90 points in that stretch. Because those seasons, like, there was no backfill. It obviously hasn't been good enough this season, but I do think it could have been way worse.
Yeah.
And it is a testament. We got a lot of those texts throughout the course of the game to seeing all the AHL guys having their success. It's a testament to what's happening in Abbotsford. It's a testament to that coaching staff that these guys look like they are ready and stepping in, because there was a collection of players that would step up and get called into the lineup, and those Canucks teams would get rinsed.
Well, yeah, just look at the numbers, for instance, right? If somebody's texting us, what about Nils Höglander? He doesn't fall into this prospect category anymore. Like, he has a contract with $3 million per year for 2 more years.
He's about to start his third deal.
Yeah, so he's already past that. He's an NHL player, but this season, he has 6 goals. It hasn't been as good now. He had the 7 points in 7 games before he got hurt, so it looked like he was turning his season around and then got hurt at a really inopportune time, but has 6 goals on the campaign. But look at the guys who've come up and helped out. Max Sasson, 3 goals. Atu Ratu, 5 goals in 27 games, right? Lekkomäki has 3 goals. Linus Karlsson has a couple of goals. It took a couple of years for Karlsson to score his first goal in the National Hockey League. You're getting some bottom line. You're talking about these AHL call-up guys, Bick. You're talking about a dozen goals that have been scored by guys being called up this year. And that's not insignificant. Mm-hmm. Like, you're getting a little bit of push, especially for guys who are going to be there longer term. And we saw this a few years ago when, you know, you see a guy like Sheldon Dries come up and he scored like 12, 13 goals. But you know he's not going to be an NHL guy. You know that, you know what he is and what he isn't.
Yeah.
Quad four guy who had a few games. These guys, can they actually turn this experience into something more meaningful next season?
Yeah, I would argue what someone like Linus Karlsson is doing, maybe it's not as much offensive production as Sheldon Dries did, but Sheldon Dries still ended like a -9 or something like that season. So Linus Karlsson right now,
+4.
Yeah, like it's functional play that you are coming out on the right side of the ratio. And that's important to me. Again, it is just 2 goals here, and the points don't look like they're flooding in right now for Linus Karlsson. But he's doing a lot of functional, real play that connects to other people. It's not just in a silo. You're producing on your own. It doesn't matter what the guy's doing around you. It's real play. And that should matter to the coaching staff. And again, it is a testament to what's happening in the AHL. And the clarification on that text, he said, what about Höglander as being a graduate? Yeah, okay, you can chalk him up. That's more recent, though, too. I would say that's more under this regime than the previous regime. But honestly, like, are we just talking about Nils Höglander as being the success story from the AHL to the NHL over the course
of
7-8 years?
And that happened, like, they had to retrace their steps
yeah.
to get him back, you know, because he made it to the NHL right away. And
Ben Hutton basically skipped the step, too. How many games did he play in the AHL? Like, 4?
I think he played after he signed his first year,
yeah.
and then the next year he made the team out of camp, essentially. So I think it's one of those things where you haven't really seen guys slowly develop and get through. And the Höglander development, so to speak, was under this regime, not the previous one. And of course, a lot's been made about the Canucks' struggles drafting players themselves and then turning them into players. At least the development path looks a bit more promising. And we'll see with the young guys and ultimately what they end up becoming. Because it's one thing to just be NHL players. Now you need to have a couple also become high-end players. Like, the Canucks need the top four defensemen out of their D group, whether it's Vilander, DPD, Mancini, whomever else you want to put down as a prospect. They need one of those guys at least to become a top four. Lekkomäki, Ratu, whomever else you want to name, one of those guys has to become a top six forward. And I'm confident we're going to see NHL players here, Bick. The question is how high the lineup can some of these guys play?
Well, it allows you to problem solve a bit differently too, right? You don't have to go shop in free agency because you want not just players to fill the role but be elite in that role. And you go start shopping for that in free agency, it's going to cost you top dollar, and it eats away at your overall spending capability. So if Ratu steps into a spot and he's a legit third-line center, maybe not as soon as next season, but you can see the growth potential for there. All right, so now you don't have to go spend big dollars to go do that. You don't have to go spend a first-round pick or something to bring someone in whatever capacity. It just allows you – it just gives you more options when you have more bodies mm-hmm. available to you.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Sean says, guys, we aren't talking enough about Calgary. It matters what they do before Minnesota crashes, Canucks win out. If Minnesota crashes out like the Canucks need, the Calgary has a first stab at the final spot, not Vancouver. They shot themselves in the foot with so many horrible efforts. Sad that is Sean texting in. And yeah, as we mentioned too, like going back to that Calgary game, the Canucks are what, with the game in hand, they'll be 3 points back of Calgary. But that's what we talked about. If they actually win, if they would have won that first game, that's 2 points that swing. Yeah. It'd be 1 point. And instead, the gap is more sizable.
Calgary plays Vegas tonight, though. They lose that, you're one back.
Hey,
even on games.
You know, people aren't giving up. Tyler Langley says they are in the race until they are mathematically out. Cobra Kai, never give up. LOL. Yeah, you're throwing an LOL there.
Always compete.
Compete until the very end. Yogi and Burnaby, as long as the vibes heading the next season are good, then keep winning. That was something that happened in Rutakit's first year when he came in and took over. Now, we were talking about this on the pregame show, too. There was a real desire from the players to impress the new head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really trying to reestablish what it took to be a Canuck, all these different things. And that was able to translate over because they had a head start on the process heading into training camp. Does this translate the same way? Even if they finish strong, to me, I'm not sure, right?
Like,
to
me, I think there might be too much scar tissue of the season.
But I do think for the young guys,
yes,
that's the more translatable one. So the vibes, the winning, I'm not so sure about
correct.
The vets and how that translates over. But could the vibes and the experience and the performances at least help those young guys heading into next season?
Yeah, and it's what we were talking about earlier of being the incumbent, right? End the season in good standing with the decision makers of the team, so you're a leg up for roster decisions come September, but also for your own development in the summer and the work you're going to do, and on a high note. So you don't have to pick yourself back up and say, oh, all right, I didn't end the year well, and how am I going to – I'm actually going to take the next step and have to go through all that process. You end on a high note, hit the ground running in your off-season training all of a sudden. It'd be a lot easier. And if you clear that mental hurdle, well, what sort of growth do you have in your game then thereafter in your own personal training time?
Yeah, and we'll talk a bit more about some of the young guys. Like, I do want to spend a bit more time on Linus Karlsson because
mm-hmm.
a lot of things I like about his game, but obviously as we talk about, can you get a little bit quicker? But some real positives, especially when you break the goals down coming up a bit later on. But as far as the head coach is concerned, let's go to the podium. Here's Rick Tocchet, brought to you by Tiletown.
Well, Rick, how much did you enjoy getting offense from throughout your lineup and from some of your young guys as well?
Yeah, especially the first one makes some good plays. Hold on to the pucks, you know, attack in the middle. It's good off the rush, especially early.
First NHL goal for Junior. What have you seen in terms of his progression to get to this point since he's joined your team?
Yeah, I thought he really excelled tonight. You know, obviously the goal's great. He was really Footy's been spending a lot of time with him on surfing, that middle part of the ice, and I saw him do it about four times, like really well. So what he's grasping a lot of stuff, what he's talking about, his gap was really good tonight too. That D, especially young D, what happens when you lose your confidence, you retract, you back in, and I didn't see that from him. Like, he had some poise to really gap up and did a nice job for us.
Feels like he's had a lot of scoring opportunities to actually get one. What do you think that's going to do for his game and confidence moving forward here?
Yeah, I mean, it's just walking the blue line, you know, poise of, you know, if a guy's in your face, not shooting it, passing. I think his poise every game, you know, and he's a great kid. Like, he's in the, he's first guy at the rink. He's in the, you know, he's in the office watching video. Like, you know, the days off, he's in the, like, he's just, he's a very coachable kid.
your pairing of Marcus and Phil tonight seemed like they played a lot more minutes. We've kind of seen a second pairing play for you in the past. What did you like about that pairing, and why did you want to get them out there so much?
Yeah, I think Footy really wanted to go that it's just that pair that calms things down. I thought Phil was one of Phil's better games in this, offensively, too. I think he did a nice job attacking the blue line. Marcus always a common influence, so they were a good pair for us tonight.
A little while ago when Pedersen and Forbert were first paired together, You talked about wanting to have the veteran on his offside on the right side. But Pedersen has been playing on that right side this entire time. How impressed are you that he's been able to make that step to playing on his offside at the NHL level?
Yeah, I mean, you get a little nervous putting a guy on his offside. I'm not a big offside guy, but circumstances dictate that. But I think he's handled it well. He's put himself in good positions to get the puck. So, you know, he's getting experience. So now you know the guy can play both sides. That's big to have.
Power play goes 2-for-2.
Yeah.
What did you think about how they played tonight and how they created their chances?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time with video and yesterday in practice, especially Brock's goal. I think I was telling you after the Seattle game how frustrated I was with the power play. The middle was open, and we got it tonight. You know, and Huggy attacked the middle. Obviously, hell of a play to Gars Best with that shot pass from the middle again. So I thought they took the information and applied it tonight. Good for them.
When you see guys like Junior and Sasson grabbing goals and just what they're doing out there on the ice, what does that say about Abbotsford and just what they've been able to do down there?
Yeah, I give them a lot of credit. I thought Sass was really good tonight. From the last time when he came up, I saw some improvement. So I got to give Manny a lot of credit because when we had him, he goes down, and it seemed like his knowledge was even higher than the last time. So when you get that kind of a maturation from a kid from going down and back up again, you know, you got to give the Abbotsford crew a lot of credit.
Rick, how would you evaluate your team's performance in the second and third period? Because it is kind of complicated to play with a 5-1 lead, especially on a team that isn't going to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's been a common theme this year, and you know we got to correct it. I hate to use the word maturity, but we got to understand when you're up. You know, sometimes we just let off. It's common nature, I guess. But you know, we that's maturity. That's probably the next level for us. You know, we're a young team, and even leadership wise, we got to understand. When it's 5-1, we just don't back off. We just don't dump pucks in, and we just don't skate with a puck. So I saw a little bit of that tonight, the second and third, where we kind of backed off, and we gotta reverse that mindset. We have to.
Is it hard to evaluate players then in a game like tonight? And I'm thinking of Max. Max said that it's not hard for him because he's so cognizant of everything. Not his goal, but where is he, his positioning? Do the young guys come up, you feel, have a better grasp of, I might not get another look if I don't get the details right tonight?
I hope so. I mean, that's the attitude you have to have. I don't care if you're up you're 10-0, you're young, or down 10-0, you're a young kid. You're a young kid when you get opportunity. Every shift you get is an opportunity, so you have to think that way. I mean, everybody's got to think that way, but especially young guys. I thought the young guys, since they've been up, they're giving us all they got. They're playing hard for us. You know, yeah, there's mistakes, and there'll be poised stuff that they'll get better at, but the effort from the young guys to me has been really outstanding.
Rick, what did it say about the team? You had the rough night on Wednesday night, give up a goal 82 seconds in, yet they turn around and score the 5 goals so quickly. What did it say about this team?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about being, you know, obviously slim. It's the slimmer of trying to get to the postseason. It's slim, right? But we talked about yesterday details and professionalism. And you know, that's something we got to work on every day. So got to give them a lot of credit. Really enjoyed the first period, like I said. A lot of fun watching the guys make some plays.
Rick, do you think those young guys are pushing each other? There's 6 guys in the lineup tonight who have spent a lot of the year in Abbotsford rather than just 1 or 2. Do you think they're bringing out the best of each other?
I do believe that. You know, how many jobs are open? How many players are vying for them? In-house competition is big, and they're pushing each other, and they're hanging together, and they're pushing each other in the gym, and they're on the ice. That's what breeds development, right? So I would say they are pushing themselves 100%.
That is Canucks head coach Rick talking at the podium, brought to you by Tile Town. Proudly Canadian-owned and operated since 1971, visit any of their three locations and talk to their in-house design consultants. Visit them online at mytiletown.ca. And the coach talks about the young guys, and a lot of it just does come down to that, right, Bic? It's, you know, how much of this can they learn from them? He talks about them pushing each other and working towards doing things, and said a lot of great things about DPD. What stood out to me is he talked about the work ethic. First guy in the rink, days off, he's in the gym, he's very coachable, he's in the video room all the time. It seems like some of the young guys, Sasson as well, are really making that right impression on the head coach.
Well, those are the things you want to do to endear yourself to a coach. Coaches notice that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Attitude, right? You've heard me use the phrase, you know, talent's what you have, attitude's what you extract from it. And you hear that sort of stuff, and you know, he's glowing about P.U. Suter being at the gym at 11 o'clock at night. And here's all the young guys all pushing each other, all being in the gym together, hanging out together, all pushing. Like, that's the sort of stuff you want to hear if you're one of the young guys. And that it gets recognized, right? We always think, oh, the coach doesn't notice me doing this. Look, it's not just about the coaches having eyes on you. The whole organization has eyes on you. Everyone's going to be talking, be like, hey, this guy was doing this, this guy was doing this. All that information is going to end up back at Rick Tocchet's desk. Mm-hmm. And he's going to sit there and say, oh, okay, these guys are putting in the extra work. These guys are doing this to get recognized, to improve their games, to be invested in what it means to be a Vancouver Canuck. That all registers to decision makers.
And gave some credit to Manny Malhotra for the job he's done as head coach. And obviously, Abby's been on a tear. They made it to the postseason, had a long
If you never
streak.
Lose, people notice.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it says a lot when he talks about we send guys down with direction, and then they get to work on those things with that coaching staff, and they come back more prepared for it. And I think having that is a real positive, and hopefully something that can continue beyond this year. And we'll see ultimately how the coaching situation also shakes out for the Vancouver Canucks this offseason. Was there anything else that stood out to you? I know he talks a lot about hold on to pucks and make plays, attack the middle, and he was frustrated with what they didn't do against Seattle. Mm-hmm. And he was happy with what they did here. I know he talks a lot about we had the game plan, hold on to pucks, make plays, and seemed happy they were doing that here this afternoon.
Well, certainly on the power play, right? And we'll spend some time when we break down the goals here in the next segment. But it was very evident that the plays were executed to its design. Now, it's easier when you have time, like they did on that Brock Besser goal, because Anaheim was not pressuring anyone at the point. So you could move at the pace you wanted to and find the angles you wanted to, because Quinn Hughes was not being closed upon. But take advantage and work your place. And they were there. And Besser gets his 25th goal of the season in that spot. Garland gets his 19th on the power play. And they were ruthless. They spent a total of 1 minute on two power plays.
Yeah, and they made it work. They made it happen really, really quick on the man advantage. Is there anything else that stood out to you? He mentions details and professionalism until the end of the season are big for him. I'm sure all coaches say that, but if he's actually back next year, it's kind of like you want to make sure that you're playing hard for the coach who's going to be behind the bench here next season. If you sign here with term on your contract.
That's, again, nice thing to say. We need to see it in practice.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a lot of details and professionalism last game.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, do you carry this over?
How is that going to carry over the rest of the way? So, yeah, it's something to just keep an eye on. You can always come back to it. But tonight, look, they got it right tonight. That was fantastic in the first 20 minutes. Won the game in the first period. How many times have we been able to say that this season?
Not enough times, right? And, you know, like Tommy B texted in, it's nice to have a goalie give you goals. And I'm not sure as it was Dostal being bad. We'll get to the goals coming up on the other side. But the puck luck was certainly on the Canucks side of things this afternoon at Rogers Arena. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650. Or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. It's Satyar Shah with Bic Nizar. We'll be back here on the other side after a 6-2 Canucks win over the Anaheim Ducks on the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. More coming up next on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
This is the Canucks Central postgame show. Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
The first of those six remaining games tomorrow night, the Vegas Golden Knights in town, 7 o'clock faceoff as Dakota Joshua gets a chance in front. He scores! A deflected shot from the point landed right on Joshua's tape in the slot. It's a goal fest this afternoon in Vancouver. The Canucks lead 5-1 with 5:50 left in the first.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about being, you know, obviously slim, the slimmer of trying to get to the postseason. It's slim, right? But we talked about yesterday details and professionalism. And, you know, that's something we got to work on every day. So got to give a lot of credit. Really enjoyed the first period, like I said. A lot of fun watching the guys make some plays.
Fun in Canucks hockey, something we haven't heard too much used in the same sentence, but the head coach describes it this afternoon. Canucks 6-2 victory over the Anaheim Ducks.
They've had boring-itis throughout the course of the year.
That was fun-itis this afternoon. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. We won't tell you the genesis of that because it would not be for on-air, but we'll leave it at that for the time being. The boss is here, literally sitting here watching me, and I already dragged him earlier, so I got to be careful. He's looking to get me back. So.
That was great.
Gotta be careful. Gotta be careful.
I was driving in, obviously, and I heard the moment. Who's running the board today? Are you kidding me? And then you guys wasted no time.
None. Like we were saying, we wait for the misery to take advantage of the misery of our coworkers. Yeah. As soon as somebody makes a mistake, like we pile on.
We're constantly in pouncing position,
waiting for someone to mess up.
Who's gonna screw up next? Mate? No, it's him. It's him. Get him.
He's the main character tonight.
Admonish him.
Get him. That's how we do things here.
And Reach spills a water bottle. And, yeah.
They'll never live that down. Almost got fired over that, but I'll leave that. But I'm getting suspended for swearing on air.
That's for the tell-all book one day.
What a year.
It's been chaos for us.
We're just reflecting what happened on the ice. That's all. We're living vicariously through the hockey team. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, 650-650. We'll hit some more as the show goes on here. There's some jokes that have come in as well. I wanted to get this one in. Says, you guys should have interviewed Mancini next chance and hit him with the ciao, 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 or if you really want to make fun of the ciao bello. So I can't do the...
There we go.
You know, but Reach probably would have done it a lot better.
Well, me and Reach, we're trying to get this going now. Manson makes some dance.
That's the stupidest thing I've heard.
We're trying to get that going.
You just seen Bix doing the shoulder shrugs as he's doing it.
I can't do it like Ovi, but he's got that pregame thing. Manson makes some dance.
Yes, the fans will make her dance, but not quite. But yes. Vancouver Canucks 6-2 victory, and maybe Victor Mancini has a new song.
If he scores the goal at home ice, like that, I don't know. I kind of think that song should go out there.
Mance will make her dance. Yeah, well,
or make them dance.
Then if you don't
make them dance, the fans.
Right,
fans will make them dance. Eddie, hit it again. Fans will make them dance. Fans will make them dance.
I just gotta get a video on Vic Nizar. What happened to the cameras that were supposed to be here for postgame? We'll leave it. We'll leave it for now. Yeah. It's been a trying year. Let's just put it that way. People talk about management for the Canucks not coming through.
That was like a 2023 meeting you just brought up for no reason at all on the air.
I'm saying, people talk about Canucks management. They might be to blame. You could have had a great video moment on video had management come through. That's all I'm saying. Better off seasons make for better product.
For no reason whatsoever, just took aim at this guy. He's here editing your clip that has to go on social media. And you're just like, hey, whatever happened to these things?
You know, it's like, remember when you were like in high school and you're like grade 8 or 9 and you're like, if I get suspended for the last week, like an extra long summer.
No, I don't remember thinking.
You ever thought
that.
About that? No.
What was going on? Yeah. Did you have some struggles here? What's going on?
I was
going
to leave it at that. I'm going to be a self-therapy session on the post-game show.
All right. You're like 6 games left. If I get suspended, I can just take an early summer.
Let me just get through tomorrow. After that, miss the final 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, I'm trying to have some fun here on the post game show. Canucks win 6-2. But let's break the goals down. And you know what, Pick? Like when this game started, first shift, I was a bit concerned. The Anaheim Ducks kind of all over Vancouver, and you know we talked about in a game like this, the coach mentioned professionalism. They have to play a lot harder, and he wanted to see the veterans. bring their best until the end of the season. And on that first shift, you know, Kiefer Sherwood's had a great year, but you got to be a lot more aggressive when the puck ends up being dumped into your own end. And there was a chance for a two-on-two behind the boards, but Sherwood doesn't really get into the battle. It ends up being a two-on-one. The puck comes up, and then he kind of just stands there stationary.
Nobody gets close to Terry.
Yeah.
Terry gets the puck on the edge of the circle facing not the net, like in a different direction. And he spins into the middle of the ice to go be a more threat of a goal-scoring threat. Nobody comes close to him.
Yeah.
And then takes the shot. I think Demko's got to have this one.
So I don't disagree, but if you'd watch the play, the Canuck defender, I think it's Mancini with the Ducks player. The Ducks player is in the crease. Mancini follows him through the crease. I don't think it allows Demko to come out. And as soon as they pass forward, the shot happens. I don't know if he had a chance to really push out on that play because he had two guys in his vicinity, including his own defenseman. But I'm with you. He ends up being caught a bit too deep. It's a nice night by Troy Terry. He goes top cheese, but it was kind of similar to the two goals. He found himself straddling the goal line against the Anaheim Ducks off the rush. I mean, sorry, against Seattle off the rush. It was a Shane Wright goal, and the Chandler Stephenson goal ends up being a bit too deep. This one, like I said, I think the movement across his goal mouth doesn't allow him to step up as much as he wanted to, but it's one of those where we saw the other game. We saw it again this afternoon where he's a bit too close against the line, and the puck ends up beating him.
But he just gets beat at that glove side, short side. And nice job by Troy Terry here, right? Because it nicks the inside of the post. It's perfectly placed. And just ping it in. And Ducks are up 1-0.
Yeah, 1-0 for the Anaheim Ducks. And I was like, man, if the Canucks are going to be playing like this, this could be another nasty one, Saturday afternoon game. And the crowd was quiet afterwards, too. You couldn't hear a pin drop.
We could hear things coming clean from the ice level.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot going
on. Chatter.
But here's what the coach talked a lot about, which was, we got to get to the middle of the ice. And after Anaheim scored to make it 1-0, the Canucks did a lot of that. Brock Besser, a couple opportunities in the middle of the ice. You had Lekromäki going towards the middle. So they really started attacking down the middle, something they hadn't done. I know Chris at Maple Ridge was asking, in your guys' opinion, if they would have done the things they did today against Seattle, would that have worked out better? I think against Seattle, the numbers were misleading with the chances. They got to the middle far more in this game here against Anaheim. I know they got some good luck, but you put yourself in those positions, sometimes you can get some fortuitous bounces.
Yeah, and Seattle defended well better than
They boxed out really well.
Than Anaheim did this evening. And so you're able to have a bit more poise on the puck to make some plays. But this play in particular, it's a zone entry rush play, and forward, you know, bats away a puck that's flipped out. Carlson clicks it to the neutral zone and just vertical, get up the ice. And it's just a zone entry with 3v3, and he goes wide. Sasson and Lekromäki go to the net. And as he goes wide, he draws one Ducks player to him, and the trailing Duck player to make it a 3v4 goes after Carlson rather than protect the middle of the ice. And so Carlson draws two with them. And just I just like the way he navigated to get it and around and backhands it into the middle of the ice. And in comes DPD to get this snap shot off. And one times it perfectly upstairs with all the bodies in front of Dostal there of Sasson, Lekromäki, and the two defenders. It's just a really nice play for by Linus Carlson there. Just drive, take bodies away from the center of the ice, get that puck there. And it works out.
Yeah, it really does. And that really set things going for the Canucks. And I liked a lot about from Linus Carlson's game. And he's done a really good job in traffic. And he looks a lot stronger, too. The pace, we'll talk about a bit. But really like what he did on that play to set up the first goal from DPD to tie the game up at 1. And after that, the Canucks kept things going. And we talked about Bick attacking the middle of the ice. And that's exactly what Filip Hronek does. And he had a good game. We'll get to the three stars. I liked how he handled the puck, and he drove it towards the middle, got the shot off. And listen, fortuitous bounce.
Mm-hmm.
But get to the middle, get shots off, and sometimes it ends up working out for you.
As far as you mentioned attacking the middle of the ice, the guy who does it on this play is Marcus Pettersson, too, because you know Bluger's the one that keeps the puck in the zone, right? It's a very sloppy play by Gudas, and he spins on Colangelo back up the ice. And Marcus Pettersson from the left point kind of spears into the middle of the ice, and that opens up the space for Hronek to come across, and nobody comes out to challenge him on time. And so he's able to take that puck. Again, he's coming from the right point. He's a right-handed shot. He's got to take that puck and pivot on it to get that shot off. And Zegras is there a quarter of a second late because he just gets a stick on it. But it flutters all the way through. But it opens up that space because Marcus Pedersen is the one that vacates his spot to draw guys away for Hronek to fill in. And that's how it opens up, and Hronek gets the 2-1 goal with bodies in front again.
Yeah, and Teddy Bluger gets the helper on that. And the Canucks, less than a minute later, go on the power play. And we mentioned after Anaheim scored to make it 1-0, Brock Besser had a couple of opportunities from the middle, got a shot off one tip, and he ends up cashing in on the power play, Bick. And after just essentially getting a feed from Quinn Hughes and just tipping it from the middle of the ice, and it finds a way to beat Dostal.
Before we get to the rotations and the plays that they did, this is an offensive zone faceoff, obviously, a power play. Suter gets chucked out, so Besser takes it. Besser loses the draw, but they keep the puck because it's Lekker-Mäki crashing the faceoff while the puck is in the feet of the center, pries it free, gets it up top to Quinn Hughes. So that effort, and you can see the little urgency and hunger on that play to win it, keeps the play alive and keeps the puck in zone. And then Besser and Lekker-Mäki rotate away, and Besser goes on the flank, and the puck comes to Quinn Hughes up top. And Suter flashes wide from the weak side, so he draws a defender out wide. DeBrusk goes net front and pins that defender there. Lekker-Mäki's got Lacombe on him, so Lacombe's kind of shoulder-checking, where should I go, should I stay with him? And while he's doing that, Brock Besser sneaks in between in this middle part of the ice, and you're obviously going to have a guy on Quinn Hughes. It was Lundestrom in the spot, and so he just kind of drags him away from Besser. And you can see Lacombe in conflict. Do I stay on a one-timer guy, or do I have to go to Besser? And I'm not even sure if he's going there yet. And before he could even decide, Quinn quickly snaps it over to Besser, and perfect tip to elevate it up over Dostal.
That's what you want to make guys think, not react.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened on that play. It was a nice move, and next thing you know, Besser finds the back of the net, and the Canucks get another power play opportunity less than a minute later, and they make this one count as well, and maybe the easiest goal Connor Garland's going to score all season.
Yeah, certainly. And honestly, the finish is really easy. He had to do a lot of work on this play because Quinn Hughes kind of threw him an ambulance pass in the neutral zone, and Garland recognized where the potential contact was coming early and just evaded it just enough and pushed the puck forward to Brock for the zone entry, too. And he did a very good job holding the puck on the wall, two guys closing in on him, and he gets it to Quinn Hughes, who's now coming into the zone with speed, downhill, works around Radko Gudas, and just gets a soft shot into the pads of Dostal. And Connor Garland, all he's got to do is steer it back towards the net, and he does just that.
Yeah, nice job by Garland. His 19th goal of the campaign, one away from 20, which would be the third time of his career getting to the 20-goal mark for the Vancouver Canucks. And Besser got the 25th goal of his campaign. And, I mean, those are four goals, fast and furious, and the fury did not stop. Dakota Joshua makes it 5-1 for the Canucks, and it caps off, Bick, the fastest five-goal sequence in Canucks history, scoring five goals in 4 minutes and 30 seconds, beating a record they set against L.A. in 1993 in April. So, 22 years ago? Oh, it took 22 years, almost 22 years, for them to break that record. And Dakota Joshua, Bick, simple. Crash the net, and good things will happen for you.
Yeah, and you know, Reach and I were talking about this in the first intermission. It's a goal that I feel that they should be able to do more often. Because it's from D to D in the defensive zone. Hronek goes diagonal to Ratu. He chips it past the guy for Joshua. But then all the work basically comes from below the line.
Yeah.
And it's Joshua rims around to Sherwood, back low to Joshua, and he kind of cycles out of from below the goal line, hits a diagonal up to Marcus Pedersen. But the below the goal line work is something that I feel this team can thrive in. And it matches the ethos of what Rick Tocchet wants, right? Win board battles. And, you know, the reason I love, you know, plays below the line for this team is it would get defenders turned to the wall. And what sort of off-puck movement can you then create in blind spots in prime areas of the ice like the slot?
Well, how often have we seen plays this year when we talk about Canucks defensemen going too deep or turning their back and then a forward from the opposing team finds soft space?
Those lower high plays. Yeah. Again, the passes that are valuable, cross slot, east-west,
yes,
and low-high.
Yeah.
And honestly, this team probably doesn't do enough low-high plays. And if they do, it's usually Quinn Hughes just going wherever he wants in the offensive zone and creating something, and he makes it work. But not enough from the forwards to be able to do that. And so this play, it's just, again, rimmed around, back down low, win some battles. And Joshua comes from behind the net, in the corner, sends a diagonal up to Marcus Pedersen. And again, some good fortune here because it's tipped by Sherwood, lands perfectly for Joshua. But just think of the same guys. We're talking about the same guys.
Yeah.
Sherwood wins a puck on the one wall, gets to the front of the net. Joshua collects from Sherwood, sends it up to Marcus Pedersen, and from the wall, darting to the slot in front of the net. It doesn't have to be just to stand in front of the net like huge mannequins and hope the puck just makes it there. It's create from distance and get to that area. And so it's Sherwood who tips it, lands perfectly for Joshua, and he just sweeps it through Lucas Dostal.
Yeah, stat correction or math correction. Did you say 1993? That's more than 20-something years ago. Yes, it's 32 years ago. Missed like 10 years.
We old.
Math also is not our strong suit here on the post-game show.
Math does not make them dance, just dance. Dance and makes them dance.
Not math. Anaheim scored the lone goal in the second period. Trevor Zegras getting his 11th of the campaign. We can probably move off that one and get to the final goal, which is Max Sasson. We spoke to him post-game. We'll hear from him a bit more coming up here in a second. But unassisted, uses his speed and finds a way to beat Dostal for the sixth time in the evening tonight.
Yeah, just closed quick on Shillington. And, you know, Randeep did a great job talking about that earlier. Have that quickness that if there is a bobble, you're within striking distance to poke that puck free. And away you are, away you go to the races. And, gets his second NHL goal. Huge for third NHL goal, seventh NHL point for Max Sasson. And a nice shining example of the work that's being done at the AHL level.
Yeah, the coach gave a lot of credit to Sasson, but also the coaching staff, Manny Malhotra specifically, for how he's helped bring these guys along. And Max Sasson, another strong performance here this afternoon, helping the Canucks with a 6-2 victory over the Anaheim Ducks. Ted in Surrey says, today's game makes the 5-donut versus Seattle even harder to take. Where was this team against Seattle? Too inconsistent this year, but go Canucks, go. And I think that's been part of this year, the inconsistency. And how often have we talked about trying to string together these performances, and it's been a difficult thing for these guys to do.
Yeah, 100%. They're the rest of the season, right? They got 6 games left. If they're trying to do an earnest attempt of make it difficult for Minnesota and St. Louis to get in, you got to get this one right then.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you've only got one more chance to string results because you stub your toe at all. It's that E's going to go next to your name real fast.
Yeah, it doesn't take very long, right? And that can happen in a big, big hurry. Anything else you wanted to hit here before we get to some player audio postgame?
No, let's get to the audio.
Yeah, all right. We'll get to Sasson a bit later because we spoke to him right after the game. But, you know, when we talk about some of the young guys and how they performed, DPD scored his first goal in the National Hockey League, a big moment for him. And here he is post-game talking about getting his first ever big league goal.
I saw we got the puck, and I tried to join the rush. And after that, just Carly made a really good play, and I just tried it one time, and it went in.
What did that moment mean to you?
Yeah, it means a lot. First goal, and it was fun that Carl made assist too, so yeah, it was amazing.
What was it like being part of that? Like, you sort of sparked that whole turnaround for the team. What did it feel like participating in that? 5 goals in 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, I don't think we were so happy about the start. And just felt like after the first one, you just kept going and rolled, so yeah, it was good.
Why has every part of your game kind of evolved here since you've been called up? I mean, you get the goal today, but the other parts, you're hitting, your positional play, your puck movement, you seem to be advancing the curve real quickly here. Is that confidence? Or?
I think it's a lot of confidence, and all those guys I have around me helped me really much. And when you play deeper with like a guy like Forbe or all the defensemen, it's really easy, so they help me a lot, so yeah.
What does it do for your confidence now to see one go in the back of the net? You've had a lot of good chances, but to see one go into the net, what does that do for you?
Yeah, it was super cool. I just got really happy,
You mentioned Forbert. What is it that makes you two play together so well, or just him helping you through this transition?
I don't know. He's a guy that's been in the league for a while, and yeah, just he talks to me. He helps me a lot, and yeah.
How do you decide where the first goal is, puck is going to go?
I'm going to take it home to Sweden, probably put it in my family's home.
So you're playing on your offside, on the right side with Forbert. Have you played much on the right side before?
I wouldn't say so. I've been playing mostly on the other side, but it's a good challenge and feels pretty good now.
Brock said he was bugging you about not scoring. Was anybody joking with you after the game today, or any funny interactions?
No, I haven't heard so much after the game today, but yesterday I had some good chance and they told me, so yeah, it was fun that it went in today.
Must have been pretty cool to have Lecky on the ice and Carlson with you as well, a couple of guys you came up with in the AHL. What was that like to just celebrate with them after the goal?
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, I really like those guys. And Carly has been with me since my first day in Abbotsford, and he's been helping me a lot, so it was fun that he had assist.
Big goal from Elias Pettersson, and he talks about how he's going to put that in his parents' home back in Sweden. Another player who had a big game was Brock Besser, scored his 25th goal of the season, and here he is meeting with media postgame.
Yeah, it's great. Anytime you're in depth scoring, it's good, and those guys work really hard, all those young guys. So, I'm happy for some of them, and especially Junior. He's been pretty close to scoring a few times now.
What have you made of his game and what he's brought to this team since coming up?
Yeah, I think he's a really good player, and he's strong. He moves well. He defends hard, and he gets looks offensively too. I was kind of giving him some crap about scoring, but he finally did.
What did you like about some of the looks you created on the power play?
Yeah, I was just happy with we had a game plan going in, and I thought we did well, and obviously getting two power play goals, so we got to make sure that we can do that again tomorrow.
What did you say about the fight this team had? Like I said, you're down early and rallied, to score the 5 goals in 4 minutes.
Yeah, that was huge for the group, and obviously that wasn't the start we wanted, and I think we forgot about their goal quickly and turned the tide, and I thought we had played a great first period there.
Does it give you that much of a spark when it is a guy scoring his first NHL goal that ties the game in that moment?
Yeah, it's great. Everyone's so happy for him. He comes to the rink every day. He works hard, and he deserves it. So we're all just happy for him.
Is it nice to give the home fans something to cheer about here in the first period, especially coming in from the sunshine in the afternoon?
Yeah, it has been some beautiful weather lately. So, we do like these afternoon games. We don't get much of them. So I think we're all ready to go, and we still know how important it is to – the 2 points today is a big win for us, and now we got to focus on tomorrow.
What's the confidence level with this group when you have Thatcher playing like he did tonight?
Yeah, I think he's been playing great for us lately, and even before his injury, he was playing great for us. So that's the Thatcher we know and we love, and it doesn't surprise me when he makes some good saves.
How did you see the play develop on your goal?
It's just me and Quinn have connected a lot on that high tip play, so I came from the goal line and snuck in the middle, and he had some time up there, so I knew Quinn would get me the puck there.
Brock, what was the big difference between the Seattle game and this game?
The Seattle game, honestly, we just gave up rush chances again, so I didn't think we were in our D zone much, and we couldn't score, so obviously we had to clean that up. I thought we were a little bit better today on some of the rush chances, but they still had some looks that we got to make sure that we're aware of and really focus on our details. But I liked our overall game better today.
That is Brock Besser after the game. Scored a goal, had an assist, his 25th of the season. We'll talk more about Besser, the three stars of the game, and maybe a couple of guys you heard from might be featuring. We'll hear from Hughes, Sasson, and hopefully IMAC on the Canucks Central Postgame Show on Sportsnet 650.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
And all getting a chance to play NHL games late in the season, which is one of the big benefits of the situation the Canucks are in, and there aren't many of them, but Elias Pettersson in the slot scores his first NHL goal. DPD jumped up in the play and released a snapshot that beat Lucas Dostal up high, and the Canucks have tied the game at one.
Quality shot from Elias Pettersson as he jumps up into the play to the middle of the ice and ends up sniping past Dostal.
I saw we got the puck, and I tried to join the rush, and after that, Carly made a really good play, and I just tried it one time and it went in. Yeah, it means a lot. First goal, and it was fun that Carl made assists too. So yeah, it was amazing.
DPD, his first ever National Hockey League goal, helps the Canucks win 5-2. 6-2 over the Anaheim Ducks, and this is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. It's Sat and Bick on Sportsnet 650. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. And we have a lot of reaction after the game here. Austin and Langley, Stancini fan group growing by the day, will have us meet up tailgate on Commercial Drive following the games. So Stancini.
Hit that music, Eddie. Oh, I don't know if we have it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we'll try to get back to it a little bit later on.
Can't dance. No. There's no music.
Lotso says,
make him dance.
Lotso says, I like Randeep's comments. Post-game highlight confidence. If it's one thing that this team could have used more of this season versus last is more confidence. What helps guys coming up is confidence. What helps guys come off the schneid is confidence. Watch a Quinn Hughes story. He said, straight up, confidence has changed his career. That's Lotso texting in, talking about confidence being a big factor.
Where does confidence come from? Preparation.
Yes.
And I go back to the that Amazon docuseries. They followed Quinn Hughes, and you just see the levels that he's going through. Mm-hmm. That's someone who's trying to extract and maximize every part of his career. And he's seen the benefits over these 2 years. Norris Trophy winner, and obviously the success he's having this year, you know, it was someone that was in the heart conversation before, you know, games played kind of got taken away. But that's the level, and it's achievable. It's dedication. It's are you committed to wanting to be the best version of yourself?
Yeah.
So certainly, like, if you want confidence, yeah, look no further than your captain.
Yeah, and I think that's a big part. I remember Henrik Sedin saying a lack of confidence just means lack of preparation. Now, it's that can mean different things to different people, but that's how a lot of athletes do view it. Confidence comes from your preparation. Dave and Chilliwack, the season has been a grind for everyone. The team finishing strong with effort matters, even if he falls short of the playoffs. Anyone who is Team Tank, go outside and eat a dandelion. That's Dave and Chilliwack.
Why a dandelion? Does that?
Maybe it's just an easier thing to find. Okay.
Sounds pleasant.
Let's get to the three stars of the game, brought to you by Angry Otter Liquor. Get your mitts on your game day favorites at Angry Otter Liquor. And the third star of this game, Bic, and it's pretty much a trifecta for the Vancouver Canucks, because why wouldn't it be a 6-2 victory, and they were far and away the better team this afternoon. And Philip Hronek, the coach, name-checked him, said it was one of his better games offensively. He scored a goal, albeit deflected, picked up an assist as well, and had a really strong overall game, and he is your third star of the afternoon.
Certainly, 22 minutes and 20 seconds for Filip Hronek tonight. A couple of shot attempts, but we mentioned the goal as well. But just effective throughout the course of the game. And it doesn't always have to be flashy. Can you just take the game along when you had your moments? And again, there's goals where he doesn't even get an assist on, but he makes a nice diagonal to get the puck out of the zone. And there were just elements of that throughout the course of the game.
Yeah, it certainly was. And he is the third star of the game. Second star of the game, the man who scored the first goal of his career. He spoke to Bick and Reach during the intermission. We heard from him in the previous segment. Elias Pettersson, and spoke about how he's going to put that on a mantle in his parents' place, getting his first of his National Hockey League career.
Yeah, and he clips 15 minutes tonight. All even strength so far this evening. And, yeah, the one-shot attempt was the one goal. But what a cool moment for him. Always fantastic seeing a guy score his first NHL goal in any situation, even in these end-of-season games and, who knows, like, meaningless game. Well, you know what? It meant a lot to him.
Yeah.
And he mentioned him going to go put that on the mat. Shout out to Linus Karlsson as well. He's the one that went and grabbed that puck, because we've seen a couple times this year Canucks not go grab
pucks.
Well,
nobody grabbed the puck for him, I think it was, right?
Was it his first goal?
I think it was his first goal. I think because he was on with Pettersson and Hoglander, right?
Yeah.
They're like, how come nobody picked up the puck for him?
Yeah. And so he went and go grabbed that, and he, you know, Elias Pettersson there in his
Linus Karlsson, good situational awareness.
Yeah, the availability we just played. You know, he seems like there's a good connection there between those two guys.
Yeah, a nice finish. DPD, his first of his National Hockey League career, got the Canucks back in the game after giving up the first goal. And the first star of the game is Brock Besser, a goal and an assist. You heard him at the end, and he spoke about how they haven't given up yet. They still feel like, hey, we won this game. We're still in a spot right now that can allow us to be a playoff team. So Brock Besser hasn't given up on the postseason, and he is the first star of the game after a 2-point performance.
Yeah, just excellent. The tip was awesome, and the pass that set up the Garland goal, awesome. A couple of power play markers for Brock. 7 shot attempts as well for Brock tonight in 18 minutes and 10 seconds this evening.
Yeah, so could be he had a big game, 25. Was that a cha-ching goal, 25th?
Oh, that's a good question for Rick Tockett. Yeah, is 25 or is it just – is it 20 the one and then 30 is the next one?
Probably, I would say, yeah. 30, 25. But he got to 20. Like,
if he gets hot, he can get 5 more the rest of the season.
So to me, if you're a guy who should be viewed as a 30-goal scorer, to me, like the minimum should be like 25. I think if you score 25 goals in an NHL season, that's like very solid.
Mm-hmm.
If you get if 25 should be like the baseline for good goal scorers in a year. If you have a really tough year with some injuries, like get to 25, and he got to 25. And you know, we're not going to plan a parade for it, mm-hmm. but I do think it's a positive number to get to, especially given everything that's happened and the fact that we sat here and talked about there's no perfect center for him or center with chemistry for him since Miller got traded.
Certainly. And, you know, we talked about all the young guys that are encouraging signs for this evening, but there's going to be a necessity of these veterans to lead the way and show an example, too. It can't just be the young guys striving here and saying, oh, I'm ready to take a spot. You want to see the veterans finish out this season with that professionalism and details that Rick Tockett was talking about. So tonight, Brock Besser had it.
And those are your 3 stars brought to you by Angry Otter Liquor. And he wasn't a star tonight. -1, but 2 assists on the evening. Now 4 back of the all-time lead for points by Canucks defenseman Quinn Hughes.
He technically was a game star.
He was,
yes. He was the first star of the game.
Okay, he was,
yes.
According to those stars,
yes.
Not our stars. We went with a bit of a younger lineup for our stars. Well, slightly younger, but nonetheless, he did have a solid game, had 2 points, and here he is post-game meeting with the media after a 6-2 win over the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, it was good. It was nice PD on the board there, so he had some pretty good looks last game. He knew he was coming.
What's impressed you the most about his play coming up and joining this group in the second half?
I just think that he's kind of a sponge and knows what he is, and he's continued to get better and better. He's a great kid, so I'm really happy for him that he's able to score tonight. I know how special that is, and he's just going to continue to get better and better.
What about playing with that kind of bite, even in the game in Calgary where he delivered a clean check? He seems to have this part of his game that's always been there since he got here.
Yeah, he's... I think he's got a little bit of a physical side that I think as he continues to play, he's going to use more and more.
What does it mean for this team a night like tonight? Give up that early goal. Could have been roll overtime, but you fought back towards the 5 goals and left in a little 4 minutes.
Yeah, I don't really think this is a team that's rolled over at all this entire year. I mean, we've proven that just with all the ups and downs, and we're going to try our best, and sometimes that's just not going to be good enough, but I don't think you can ever point and look at us for rolling over.
It's been a long slog to try to hang in here and fight your way back. Having these young guys, does that bring energy to the group? Does it kind of refresh a little bit?
I don't even know. I think that obviously there's some guys in here that they don't take it for granted. Just trying to make it up here, so maybe a little bit in that aspect, but
Were you aware that the 5 goals in 4.5 minutes is a franchise record?
I was not, no.
What can you say about your partner today, Mancini? This is another guy a young guy who spent time in Abbotsford.
He's did a good job today, and right there at PD, and all these other guys that we have that are, called up right now, they've done a really good job, and same thing with PD, where I think Vic, the more reps he gets, the better he's going to be, and he's going to just continue to get better as well, and has some nice tools. So,
what did you like about the power play today?
The fact that we went 2 for 2 and capitalized on our looks.
That is Canucks captain Quinn Hughes talking about capitalizing on their looks, and said this team has not laid down and laid over quite yet. They're still in the race, still battling for it. So we'll see what's in store for us tomorrow against the Vegas Golden Knights. We have time to get, we mentioned there's more audio. We spoke to Max Sasson briefly, but here's Max Sasson postgame. Had his third goal of his career, the 6-2 marker for the Canucks, which pretty much put this game away. Well, I mean, the game was put away anyways, but just add a little cherry on top. And here he is talking about how he scored his goal.
You know, D-man kind of fumbled it, and you know, I thought I had one earlier that I almost had, and he knocked it down. So just relying on my instincts and my speed, and you know, fortunate to get a step, and you know, fortunate for it to go in.
What does that do for your confidence? First game back up.
Yeah, I mean, it felt great. Honestly, it was a great start to the game. That helped a lot, settle the nerves a bit. You know, Carly makes a great play. Petey puts in the back of the net, awesome stuff, and then, you know, kind of a up and down game, and then, you know, I thought the third period we were pretty good, and, you know, it was great to capitalize, and it feels good.
Did you see the wickets opening up, or just instinctively slide the puck between the pads?
I wanted to go low left. Yeah. That's kind of my shot, low blocker, but, you know, I remember I had a breakaway earlier in the season, and I missed, and I thought, you know, this time I thought five hole, and so, yeah, it felt great to go in.
Is it hard in a game like this to kind of turn into pond hockey to keep the details in your game because, you know, everybody's being evaluated?
You know, for me personally, no matter what the score is, all of us that are getting called up, you know, every game, no matter what the score is, it's, you know, it's your NHL life is on the line every time you step on the ice. And, you know, I think for me it's easy to try to stay focused and detailed no matter what the score is because, you know, you just got to earn your next game.
Was it nice playing on a line with a couple of familiar faces as well?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, seeing all the guys that I've played a lot of games with in Abbotsford here, you know, obviously makes us all comfortable, I think. And, you know, I think me, Lecky, and Carly was a line before Lecky got called up. I think we played probably 6 or 7 games together in Abbey. So, you know, it's really comfortable. And, you know, two of my really good buddies. And it's super fun playing with them, and, you know, it's good, and we all feel pretty good around each other.
What does it say about what's going so well down in Abbotsford that so many of you are jumping up here at the same time and playing well and feeling comfortable?
Yeah, I mean, they've done a great job of getting a ton of really, really good players that are right there for the NHL. And I think that's why we have such a good team in Abbotsford, and, you know, I think that's why you see, I think, 11-game win streak down there, and then, sure enough, all these guys are getting called up, and I feel like playing pretty well. So, yeah, it's great to see, and I think it gives everyone confidence in Abby, and I think it gives everyone confidence that gets called up that, you know, we can make this jump.
Does it make it that much easier coming up to the NHL when things have been going so well in the AHL and you've been a part of that big winning streak?
Yeah, it definitely, definitely feels good. Yeah, I mean, anytime you're winning games, your confidence is up, right? So, yeah, definitely, you know, feeling really good the last couple games in Abby, and fortunate enough to get the call, and, you know, we're all ready to go whenever they call.
What do you think, getting a chance to experience the fastest 5 goals in Canucks history there?
Is that true? Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah, that felt really quick. So, yeah, that was awesome. It was just like they couldn't even announce a goal before the next goal was scored. So, yeah, that was awesome, and it was great to see Petey get his first one too.
Canucks go on to win 6-2. Over the Anaheim Ducks. Max Sasson getting the 6th marker of the evening or afternoon for the Vancouver Canucks. And that now brings us to the real star of the postgame show. We call the man the triple threat because, well, you watch him on TV, you hear him about to hear him on radio, you see him on television, but we might have to add a fourth because he might be the ice cream man. Hit the music.
Oh, it would be perfect if it was the ice cream truck right now.
We didn't want to disappoint you. Like us. Yeah, it happened way too late.
It's always Sat's fault.
It is my fault.
It's his show.
I'll take the responsibility for this. Yeah, but you came bearing gifts.
So I've never been accused of having ice in my veins. But I do have ice cream in my hands. I came back from the dressing room. And Save-On Foods must have heard because the ice cream fairy came up and left some.
There we go.
As I read the label.
Oh, very good.
Bar Down Blast.
Bar Down Blast.
Which we're going to try right now. Because nothing says radio better than a bunch of guys no one can see eating ice cream.
We've each got a fork. We'll do this hygienically.
Oh, wow. This is amazing. We're doing live ice cream testing on the post-game show.
Beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Very good.
Very tasty.
Some chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. Doesn't feel the same, though, if I'm not in the back of the TV shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's good, because you know what? Somebody did
just
text.
Just destroying it.
We had a text that came in that said, no playoffs, but we get ice cream from LJ. It literally came to fruition. This text was sent almost 2 hours ago. So you came through, no playoffs, but ice cream.
What a day.
What a day.
What a day this is. Beautiful sunny day coming to the rink. Matinee, the Canucks score 5 in 4.5 minutes, and we get ice cream.
Yeah, just delicious. Delicious. And a nice...
Our lives are pretty good.
Yeah.
I got to say.
Not too bad.
I mean, it's tough what's going on in the world right now, especially the guy south of the border, but...
He just needs some bar down blast.
Yeah. Yeah, ice cream takes me to my happy place.
That's all a lot of things there. All right.
That's actually pretty good.
That's very good.
This will be a shake, by the way, when I'm driving home. Because I actually don't have a fridge in my car. I'm not sad.
Yeah.
Got the limo with the little
fridge.
Little fridge in the back.
I should bring that fridge with me once.
You're looking very dapper. Haven't you normally changed out of your TV wear?
No, the weather was so nice today, right? So
you have a date. You're going out for dinner.
No, I'm going home. Oh. Well, with you. Are you staying or no? We'll see. He has writing to do. We'll find out. But I'm heading home afterwards. The reason I didn't bring anything else, it was like 17 degrees out today. So I don't really need another jacket standing, you know, being in the rink the rest of the evening.
I didn't realize it was a warmth issue.
Yeah, it's usually like really cold here after. So I'm here like 2 or 3 hours, not today, but before the game starts, really cold.
And then when I leave. Issue. Yeah, see, I learned new things about you after all these years, Seth.
Peeling away the layers.
Bic, what can I learn about you?
I'm definitely not here 3 hours before.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite ever movie?
Oh, Godfather.
The original?
Yeah, we're in the Godfather stocks right now.
Why?
He actually is.
Yeah. Number one. Yeah, number one.
Okay. Does the ice cream taste like chocolate and disappointment? That's what James and North Van texted.
No, the ice cream is not disappointing.
No, it was not.
No, it's pretty good.
Mitchell and Langley makes it all worth it. Buffalo Bill, Bill from Buffalo, though, is not happy. He's like, enough with the ice cream. Get to the game.
Wait, what's your favorite movie?
I don't know. I don't know that I have one. I like a lot of cinema. But I would say Godfather, especially 1 and 2, would be in my top 10.
Yeah, no, we don't need to talk about
that. Yeah, it's not too far off that list.
I can see you being an All the President's Men guy.
I liked it for the journalistic slant to it.
Love that movie.
But there's others. I just watched the other day, is it 3 Days of the Condor?
Yeah.
With Robert Redford. Yeah. Fantastic. There's a lot of movies now the kids haven't seen. Like, there's so many people younger than you, Bic, who have not seen The Godfather, which is astounding to me.
Not great.
But no, people need to watch The Godfather.
If you're under 30, just go watch Redford and Newman, and you'll be all right.
Yeah. I mean, everyone should be aware of, the Beatles and Mozart and Van Gogh, Monet. I mean, this is part of our culture.
Yeah, it's a big part of the culture. Now, A Few Good Men, 5 times, somebody texted
in. My favorite movie, say, from this century is probably No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, a good movie.
Even though the plot is so far-fetched.
Yeah.
But it's an adaptation of a Cormac McCarthy novel, who's probably the best writer of my lifetime. So... there we go. I think the show's kind of ground to a halt.
I think so.
Let's have more ice cream.
No. This game was a something about young men, because it was the young kids.
That
doing
was a terrible
it.
Segue. Well, you should leave that.
You know,
should have just
gone. The kids are all right. Yeah. Just go there. You know, because they were all right.
They're probably at McDonald's right now.
they might very well be
celebrating the big win.
Is that where we're at now? The rest of the season. I know Brock still said, you know, we're 2 big points. We're in it. Players will say those sort of things, but. Are we just looking at how the young guys are progressing at this point?
I think it's one of the things for sure that we're going to look at for next season, because we know there's potentially going to be some gaps with the UFAs that they have and the opportunity. Plus the fact that some of these guys that we're seeing like Ratu and Carlson, the team will have to make a decision on them as far as waivers go next year. So it adds a little more gravity to it. I thought the young guys were terrific tonight. I really like Max Sasson.
Yeah.
Or Sasson. Is it Sasson?
I think we're back on Sasson.
Sasson, yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, here's a guy who unexpectedly got a chance to play in November, right? Like at the start of the year, I mean, yeah, he was kind of on the pipeline development radar, but he wasn't one of the guys front of mind. He wasn't a guy that everybody was doing stories on in mm-hmm. training camp. Gets a chance to play in November. He's actually, turns out he's pretty good. And he sticks for almost 2 months, plays, I think it was 24 games. And then he gets sent down. And then he's just disappeared mm-hmm. For 2 months. And it reminds me, and I asked Max about this after the game, he completely agreed with it, that old axiom that the NHL, it's hard to make, it's harder to stick. And he wasn't sure he was going to get another opportunity this season, but said he knew that if he did get another game, he was going to make sure that he was ready for it because he wasn't going to take that chance for granted. And, of course, he got called up on the last road trip but didn't play, got sent back down, which is why he thought probably he's not getting another game this year. Gets a chance because Nils Åman wipes out in practice yesterday at UBC, and so suddenly they need another center. Max gets a chance and scores a beautiful goal, but also just was noticeable through the game. He was certainly a young guy not taking for granted this opportunity. And it's the same game that Elias Pettersson had one of his best games, apart from scoring the goal, which is always a memorable thing for these guys who grow up dreaming of playing in the National Hockey League to score a goal. Played a really strong game otherwise, even without the goal. I think Linus Karlsson has been kind of quietly noticeable, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. Like, he hasn't done anything sensational, but his tradecraft, and especially how he is around the front of the net, around the...
Hey, Eddie, we can hear you. Thanks. Go on.
I have that effect. People tune me out. Eddie needs some ice cream.
We should have sent him some ice cream.
These guys enjoying some power down blast.
Yeah, but Carlson had a good game. You know, Mancini gets a chance to be in the lineup at the same time, and I've liked Mancini a lot. I might like him more than Elias Pettersson at this point, but I like them both, mm-hmm. and I know I'm probably in the minority on that. He's not as physical a player, but his offensive instincts and his poise and composure have stood out to me.
He was sweeping the puck off duck sticks all night tonight.
Yeah, he's just a good player, and it's nice now that there's these two guys, roughly comparable age and stage of their career, and now, you know, it's another what's the cliche? Another arrow in the quiver, you know, another chance they have, another shot that they can take on getting a guy and developing into a good NHL player. So I thought those young guys collectively, they brought energy. That's what I found was a big difference. Of course, you score 5 goals and the crowd's into it, you're going to have a lot more energy than getting shut out 5-0 by a poor team like Seattle. So, you know, you could feel that energy, but I thought they were the ones who sort of instigated or were the catalyst for what we saw in the first period, that kind of young guy energy and executing on some key plays.
We spent a little bit of time earlier talking about someone like Thatcher Demko, and just when you looked at him tonight, just as far as physically, you know, these last 6 games, they're not necessarily about standings and all that, but just trying to build something from a physical profile, like, what are you taking out of what you saw from him tonight?
Well, he was fighting the puck, but he made a lot of good mm-hmm. saves. He fought it, I guess, well. He also got lucky, you know, 4 off the iron. But I think the biggest thing with Thatcher is just to string together games and kind of rebuild that platform of being an everyday goalie who you can count on to be available. And certainly, since he got back, his workload has been heavy. That was partly because Lankinen was struggling with something that we're probably never going to know exactly mm-hmm. what he was struggling with, but he was he was trying to play through it and let in a bunch of goals in a couple of starts. So you know, they go back to Thatcher maybe one or two more times than they would have had Lankanen really been in form. But it's a good sign that he's out here and he's getting this tail end of the season. I remember his year 2 years ago when he had the serious injuries, you know, the start of the year and then the groin injury in December, how important that was to him to get the tail end of that season and have a chance to start to play his way back. So when he went into the summer, he wasn't starting from zero. He was already partway there. And, of course, he came back and had his best season as a Canuck the following year. So, I think every start that Thatcher Demko gets between now and the end of the regular season is going to help him be better prepared for the start of next year. So it's a very good thing that he seems to be in it, and especially tonight on a couple of those saves. The one he didn't get, the second goal, where he basically did the split stretching backwards. I mean, that's an aggressive physical move to put yourself in that position. And obviously the fact that he's able to move like that and get up and be athletic like he has been is a very good sign.
You know, you mentioned the injuries, and we'll maybe never find out, because even last year when we got to the end of year presser, nobody wanted to admit what was happening. Almost nobody, right? Is this the toughest it's been to get injury information? Like, you've covered the game, you've gone through, you've seen it, and it didn't used to be clandestine, right?
I mean,
right?
Listen, I've covered the team long enough. I remember when the Canucks medical trainer, Mike Bernstein, would basically just brief reporters.
Yeah.
This guy's got this, and so he could be a couple of weeks, and this guy's got that. I think the whole league has veered
It's just the way the league is. Yeah.
And it's kind of so hockey as well.
Yeah.
That these guys in charge think that somehow this is a competitive advantage they have, since their opponent doesn't know what Elias Pettersson is out with. They just know he's out. But the fact that they're keeping it secret is somehow an advantage. And listen, I know that there's a certain reality to that, especially when you get to playoff time, you know, when you're seeing a team more than once. I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference in the regular season, maybe in some rivalry games, maybe for teams that might be playing, there's some advantage to it. But yeah, I don't think that this organization is exceptional in that way. I think it's just kind of how business is done now around the NHL, that everyone tries to keep things a secret.
Well, end it on this. Dale and Maple Ridge.
I do know, though, before you read that text, I do know that there's a bunch of guys playing through things.
Yes.
Like, we all know that. So whether in the end Connor Garland tells us what's wrong, or whether Kevin Lankanen tells us what's wrong, or whether Quinn Hughes especially tells us what's wrong, I don't think it's essential to know what the specific injury is, other than we understand that mm-hmm. they're all playing through something and pushing themselves out there when they're not 100%.
And we'll end it on this. Dale in Maple Ridge says, went to the game listening to you guys' broadcast, had to pull over and get an Oreo ice cream sandwich.
There we go.
We have inspired people to get ice cream on a very nice, sunny day, and we got to get out.
A favorite of mine as well, although I probably prefer just the plain ice cream sandwich, not the Oreo one.
Not the Oreo one.
More ice cream, less cookie.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, too. I'm a more ice cream sandwich guy myself. But we got to run. There is Vancouver Giants pregame on the other side. Ian, I know you got to go and finish writing your article. We'll be up on sportsnet.ca this evening. Make sure to check it. Keep an eye out for it. Great stuff as always. We'll chat with you tomorrow night when the Canucks take on the Vegas Golden Knights. See.
I'll look forward to that. And I will not bring ice cream tomorrow night. It's up to one of you guys to bring us treats.
Yeah, we'll see.
And I don't mean the fries that have been sitting out since the first intermission.
No, we'll leave that to Bick tomorrow if he makes it on time, or if it's worth celebrating or not. But we'll leave that for a different day. All right, he's Bick Nizar. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Thanks to Canberra. Thanks to Fast Eddie. Gregory, I'm Satya Arshaw, and all of you for listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on Sportsnet 650. We're back at it again 6 p.m. tomorrow pregame. Puck dropped after 7. And this is the postgame show brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.